Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Well, here we are. It's another Shift and Steer, and we're all present and accounted for.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us, but...
Well, Aaron's on the phone.
He's not physically here.
And ever since we got the new board, he's not all crackly and stuff.
Yeah, he sounds much better. So now we knew what the problem is. Because every time we'd hang up the phone and just start screaming your name in vain about how crappy your phone is, turns out it was our board.
Well, no. You know what it turns out? It's the last time I was with Aaron face-to-face.
Yeah.
He's crackly and obnoxious in person, too.
Well, I'm sitting down here in Carson. And in front of Jamba Juice, so I've got good reception.
Okay, very first thing, let's clear the air. We know, but tell all the listeners, did you make it home in one piece with your rat rod on the trailer?
Oh, with Red Voodoo.
With Red Voodoo?
Yes, thank you very much. I had no problems at all. Got home in the wee hours of the morning and put her in the garage and then went right off to another event. So I just the other day had a minute to kind of tidy up and go through the motions of putting it all back together. But Red Boot.
Well, we had some
ready.
Well, the door didn't open, so there was that because it hit the exhaust.
And the wheels are falling off.
The wheels are falling off.
No, I tightened them up. I fixed the door. I hooked everything back up. Everything works. She's ready to go.
Dude, do not drive that thing until you check all those lug nuts. Two of them were loose. I mean, literally, they weren't seated down into
two.
I got new
wider tapered lug nuts to go on the outside so it fills the holes better. But I need to get some spacers from you because the spacers that are on there are unacceptable.
Okay, well, call me off the air and we'll talk about that because...
You definitely need that. That stack of discs you had back then.
And Aaron, like Matt and I said, just having that lucky rabbit's foot is not enough.
No.
That's not going to do it.
No.
But we had fun with that video.
The rabbit?
Yeah, it wasn't lucky for the rabbit, was it?
The video was mostly fun for us because it's just Brad and I laughing hysterically in the background. It's trying to make it so you couldn't hear us.
But it got a lot of hits online. I mean, people loved it. Aaron has this rat rod, okay? And what do you call it? You don't call it a rat rod. What do you call it? Aaron?
It's just Red Voodoo.
No. You told us a new terminology.
Yeah, there's a new Rat Rod's old
terminology. What's changing? It's now an outlaw hot rod.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Bugs me when you say that.
Yeah. And when he goes off the side of the road, they're going to call it a death rod. So, but anyway, he had it down here on a trailer, and we went out to look at it, and it was fun. We had a good time. But anyways, hey, we got to get today's show started.
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff to do today.
We got somebody in studio.
We do.
We do, from the Shine Squad. Turtle Wax, we've had other guys in. But Andrew's in with us, and it's Andrew Manis, and we're going to be talking to him. How you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
Good. That's enough for now. Oh, come on, don't overstay your welcome. No. Good. And appreciate you driving down to the studio. But we've got not only that, but earlier today I talked to Jegs from Jegs Racing, their pro stock team. And he was literally in the pits waiting to go first round in Pennsylvania. So before I move on to that, what do you have to tell us?
I'm going to tell you guys about some belts.
All right.
You know, if you
we talk about belts on Man Seeks Adventure all the time.
I'm sure you do. If you think of all the weird things you find in cars, I'm not just talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, and the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, Brad, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles.
I did know that because I've heard you read that commercial.
I was just
going
to say, yeah, for weeks and weeks and weeks now. They're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has the OE Technology Series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, if you got enough surprises already working on your cars and trucks, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go to the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com.
Hell, I have enough surprises just waking up in the morning. I don't need them with my belts either. So, hey, so Andrew, are you a drag racing fan at all?
Drag racing?
You can be honest.
He's got a puzzled look on his face.
I know. Well, yeah.
You know, drag I'm a fan racing. Of anything that's loud and fast. And,
well, that's drag racing for
drag
sure.
Drag racing goes back. That would be more my dad.
Well, pro stock is the part of drag racing where they take a stock appearing car, mm-hmm. Mustangs, Camaros. Actually, I don't think there is a Mustang Pro Stock running right now. I think there's Camaros and Dodges right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, those Mustang guys should be rooting for that. They should be getting that. One of those Mustang guys.
Yeah.
But,
we need more Mustangs out there.
But one of the top drivers is a buddy of ours, Jake Coughlin Jr. And Jeggy... Okay, so NHRA, a couple of years back, they went to the countdown, just like NASCAR and like that. And so with the countdown, at the end of the U.S. Nationals, they've got the 10 guys seated, and those guys, everything resets, and they start this weekend in Pennsylvania. So because all the classes, Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, I figured I would give Jeg a call and get him to... You know, tell us what it's all about. And he gave me the lowdown. So we pre-recorded this because he was sitting in his car waiting to go first round. And he said that they were hoping that those storm clouds weren't going to open up.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in with Jeg Coughlin.
Yeah, let's hear the interview. So right now on the line, we have Jeg Coughlin. He's calling in from the pits at the NHRA Nationals in Reading, Pennsylvania today. Is it Reading or is it actually in a little bit of a different city, Jeg?
Well, we've always gone by Reading. I think it might be in Montage, Pennsylvania. But, yeah, we're in the flowing hills of PA right now, and looks like the weather gods are getting ready to shine on us. Hear some music in the background, some race cars fired up, so that's good.
Great. Well, hey, welcome to Shift and Steer, and thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Great to be back.
Now, what we want to talk about is this is the time of year in NHRA racing that everybody is gearing up for that, just that countdown. It's the countdown, you've made it, and then the guys who are standing on the outside that are looking in, they're hating this time of year. But for you, you've got you're in the standings, number four in the countdown in Pro Stock, huh?
Yeah, we had a great summer run. Quite honestly, the first handful of races of the year, we were honestly just kind of struggling to get a setup. The car wasn't happy. Made some changes. I think going into Houston. About the sixth or so race of the year, seventh race of the year, and really it was like hitting a light switch. We've started challenging for round wins, race wins right off the bat. Won a couple of races through the summer months, starting in Chicago at the Jeg's Route 66 Nationals, which wasn't a bad place to renew our vows with with Wally and winning an NHRA race, and then have been on a good run since. And we climbed from 11th in the standings at that day in Chicago to fourth as we start the countdown here in Reading. So a lot of momentum, which is very positive. We've either had, you know, if not the best car, nearly the best car at the racetrack, or we've kind of bowed out early. So we've just looking to kind of catch our stride here, keep our stride going, and see if we can't make a run at a sixth Pro Stock World Championship.
Yeah, five-time Pro Stock champion. Now, the was it three or four wins this year so far?
I had three in Pro Stock and then ran Super Comp in my wife's Super Comp 890 Dragster in Richmond at that national and ended up winning in Super Comp. So
okay.
I had four in total, but three in the class that in the Pro Stock class.
Okay, cool. So now Pro Stock has had a lot of jumbling around in the last couple of years since they made all the big changes, but it seems like the Jegs team is actually falling right in now with these wins. And now, as you said, you want to back up your five-time championships. You want to make it a six. Does it feel like a lucky six, Jeg?
I feel like it does. I really do. And that's, just the confidence from the momentum we've had here in the last really 2.5 months or so. But it's going to be a tough road to hoe. I mean, right now Pro Stock is literally, the top 10, 11, 12, 13 cars are separated by less than 0.02 of a second, which makes it exciting, certainly for the fans. It also makes it exciting for the drivers and crew chiefs and crews, but it also means you have to be on your best behavior at all times. And, we've had several races this summer since we've been kind of on this competitive rung and where we've, been, 20 or better on the tree and run the same elapsed time as our competitor, but got beat because of either a better reaction time or a slightly better run. And so that's the nature of the beast right now. So, like I said, you kind of got to be on your best behavior. The calls, the preparation before the races is probably as key as ever, making sure that, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. Before you ever even get to the event, the crew chiefs are forecasting what the weather's going to be, the temperatures. They know what the barometer should be with where we're going and the elevation that we're in. They can kind of simulate our conditions before they ever leave their office and start forming their game plans, build their transmission plans and gearing packages and tire packages and kind of take a lot of that last minute work out of it. And then when they get here Thursday night or Friday, they can just kind of hone in on the package they have and say, yep, this is what we expected, or we need to make a little adjustment here and there. And I think that's the element, the preparation element is going to be key to making a run at the sixth championship for us. And, there's some very good cars out there right now, and we feel like we're certainly amongst them.
So let's go through the countdown a little bit, because as I understand it, you've got the 10 cars. Now, the points for position 1 through 10 are pretty much reset. There's 20 points between 1 and 2 and 10-point increments between 2 and 10. And right now, you're at, like, I believe it's 40 points out of first, right?
Correct.
Okay, so my calculations are right.
yes, you're accurate there. And that's what the playoff format or the countdown, as the NHRA refers to it in the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, is suspenseful. It's exciting. It's a lot of adjectives you can think of that build it up. The media likes it. The fans, most of the fans like it. Because typically in most of motorsports, there's always that team or two that are running away with the season. And as we've seen in stick and ball sports for our entire lives, there's always been a playoff of some sort.
Yeah.
And then that was brought to light here in the NHRA in 2007. And that format's played out to be very dramatic and very exciting as a playoff does. And for us with the Jegs.com team, we've won, I think, 3 championships in this new era. So that's pretty exciting as well.
Now, there's a lot of bonus points and things like that you can get. Does much strategy come in from a team standpoint with those bonus points? Do you look at those and try and strategize going into this?
yeah, I think we change. Our philosophy does change just a tick coming into the countdown. The traditional races of the regular season, the first 18 races of the year, you know, qualifying is extremely important. But, you know, if we're going to miss the setup, we're going to miss it really on the conservative side. And, you know, we may not come out with our best run, and we just kind of peck away at it through the next three runs with real data from that event and try and find ourselves, you know, in the top six is our goal. Well, once we get to the countdown, you know, with the qualifying bonus points that come with it, you know, we're trying to err a little less on the conservative side and seeing if we can't poke up toward the top two or three in each and every session, because those individual bonus points from each of the four qualifying runs can add up to be several rounds by the end of the countdown. And that in itself is, you know, it's extremely important. So
could be the deciding factor, couldn't it?
It has been, yes, and it has been in years past. So we understand the importance of it, but we also understand the importance of winning on Sunday. So we know we're going to have to likely find ourselves in at least three or four of the six finals, which is extremely aggressive and very tough to do in today's competitive environment. But again, goals are made to be reached, and those are a couple of the things that we're eyeing to pull us through this countdown and into a favorable spot.
Now coming into this, you had a little bit of time off, and I know that we go back and forth on social media and like that. But what were you up to? What were you doing in your downtime? How did you kind of clear the head and see the family, and what did you do just to prepare for the countdown?
Well, in my case, I spent some days at our headquarters, Jeggs, in Delaware, Ohio, working with our team on what we do there, and that is, customer service, high performance aftermarket products from street performance to off road to racing of all sorts, and even a lot of boating. So, but to the point, I spent several days. There at Jiggs in Delaware, Ohio, working with our team. Also, ironically, I had a racing trip that we traveled for throughout the weekend, and which was a lot of fun. So hard to believe we'd be on a racing trip, but it was a non-sanctioned event. But had a great time and got to mingle with some friends that we haven't here lately, and and of course I'm traveling with my family, so that makes it easy and fun all in one fell swoop. But
little less pressure, a little bit more just fun going out and racing, yeah. Huh?
Exactly. So we're I think we're mentally in a great position from behind the wheel. I feel great coming into the countdown here, and I think my crew chief Ricky Jones. The way he's working with his father and our other co-crew chiefs, Mark Ingersoll and Brian Self, look to be in a good position there too. And from there, it's orchestrating down through the team. Our team leader and team owner, Richard Freeman, got us all together at the opening of the Indy race last week and said, here we are on the eve of the regular season and getting ready to cross into the countdown and the championship six races, and just kind of pulled us together and reemphasized quite a bit of the teamwork that we've exemplified throughout the year and how important that's going to be as we shed into these last six races and how the details are going to be oh so important and nothing can be overlooked. We need an error-free six race stretch here if we're going to add our name to champion this year, and I thought that was a great meeting we had, and it was inspirational yet also informative, and the team is, we're just in a good spot. So what else can I say other than it's go time?
Yeah for sure. Jake, let me ask you, just from the fan standpoint, what would you say, because you've been driving for so many years and your championships and everything, what would you say is the single most difficult thing about driving a pro stock car?
You know, today's pro stock cars with the new rev limiter era, you know, shifting, we don't see that so much because there's not a number that pops up on the Fox broadcast that says how the driver did shifting. Our reaction time comes up. You can physically see the run as it's traversing down the quarter mile, but you can't see the telemetry of each and every shift. And you've probably heard a lot of the drivers through their post-race interviews that they were into the rev limiter and in this gear or that gear or multiple gears. It's hard to say. That is probably the toughest part, honestly. You know, in my day and age growing up in the sport, we always had a max rev limiter just to save the engine if something were to break. But that was always set a couple hundred RPMs above your max shift point.
Sure.
And so if you ran it just a tick past your shift point, you know, you never impacted the engine and interrupted the engine with electronic governor, so to speak. So today's our max rev limit is 10,500. And so we are trying to get as close to that 10,500 on each and every one of the gear changes. And those happen about every second, the first 4 seconds of a pro stock run. And so I would say that is really probably one of the crucial parts of from behind the wheel during a run, because you have four opportunities to really capitalize on the efficiency of the run and or impact the run. You know, if you're short on the shifts, you know, it's going to slide the clutch and not accelerate the car. If you're long on the shifts and get into the rev limiter, then it's a killing cylinders for split seconds, which really does upset the tire, upset the suspension, and upset the car going into the next gear. So it's a near zero tolerant world right now in pro stock from behind the wheel. You have to be near or perfect on the reaction time. I would say, you know, you actually have to be 0:15 or better on the Christmas tree, and you need to execute those four perfect shifts, which doesn't sound like much, but you know, there's a lot going on. When, you know, once I let the clutch out, when the tree flashes yellow and I'm getting off that clutch as quick as I can, you know, I'm accelerating at about 3.6 G's. As the car's accelerating, I'm kind of microprocessing what's going on underneath me. Is the car going straight? Does it feel like it's going straight? Visually, is it going straight? All the while, the shift light's illuminating in front of me less than 3/4 of a second after I let the clutch out. It takes me about 2/10 to even react to the damn thing. So I'm pulling it into second gear, and then third gear comes about 7/10 of a second later. So that shift light's coming on less than about 4/10 after I pulled into second gear. The shift light's coming back on. Again, you're doing all this microprocessing on how the car is doing. You're feeding input to the steering wheel if need be. And so it just lends itself to a lot of stuff going on in a very short period of time. And that's pro stock racing.
You've got to be a good multitasker, it sounds like.
you definitely got to be a good multitasker. There's no delegating once you get in behind the wheel.
Yeah, you know, we forget about that because everybody, you know, when you watch the coverage and when you're at the track, it's all about reaction times on the tree. But yeah, you're right, in pro stock, you've got to hit that light every shift. And, you know, so it's that reaction time for every shift. And like you said, you've got to process, you know, am I hooking up? Am I going straight? What's going on in the other lane? You know, yeah, it's making sure everything's happening. Well, we've got on the line with us is Jeg. He drives the Jegs.com Elite Performance Camaro. Of course, it's in that signature Jegs yellow and black. And, you know, Jegs.com for auto parts and all the performance needs that you want. Of course, you can find them. You've heard of them. But we're talking about the countdown. We're going to wrap it up here. He's in Pennsylvania calling in from the pits, getting ready for what, round one of qualifying?
Yep.
Qualifying, right?
Yep. Qualifying's coming up here in just a couple of hours. And at the conclusion of this call, I'll be hopping right in the middle with the team and finishing our game day setups for Friday here and prepared for Q1.
Well, if you miss him here, you can also see the countdown. It's coming up September 21st through the 23rd in Illinois. Then we go NHRA heads down to Texas for the Fall Nationals, October 4th through the 7th. Then it's off to Concord, North Carolina, if it's still there, October 12th through the 14th. And then they come out to the west side of the country for the Strip at Las Vegas, where they hit the Las Vegas Nationals, and it's October 25 through 28. And it all leads up to the big one, the Pomona Racetrack for the finals, November 8th through the 11th. Now, Jake, before I let you go here and get your day going and meet up with the team, I like to ask, do you have any dragnostications about other classes? Anybody that you think is going to really be head and shoulders in Top Fuel or Funny Car?
You know, it's I probably don't follow them as close as I should, but I've enjoyed watching some of the momentum that Steve Torrence and his father have had here in the last, you know, summer months as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been on quite a tear. I think they're going to be pretty strong as they headed in the countdown here in Reading as well for the Top Fuelers. Funny Car, you know, it's kind of hard to go against the season leader, Courtney Force, you know, in the success that they've had with the realignment of in the new crews under their umbrella. I think they've been seems like their number one qualifier just about every race, maybe not in the last race or two. But, yeah, I think that would be exciting. See her go the distance here in this countdown. And of course I got tons of friends in both classes, not wishing against any of them, but just looking at some of the momentum or some of the successes this year that could play out as the countdown unfolds. And you know, when you look at the pro stock bikes, it's really hard to argue against the Harleys. They've been so fast primarily throughout the seasons, but primarily in the countdown. They don't miss much. They're a very very strengthened team. But, you know, one of our co-teammates, Matt Smith, is riding on a brand-new bike that that Elite Performance is a part of and Elite Motorsports. So we're certainly looking to see him get something going and possibly bring home another championship there.
And those bikes are getting top speeds that are crazy now. I mean, they're just way up faster than they've ever been. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool to see Hector Jr. Start the 2018 season with a 200-mile-per-hour run, the first ever on two wheels for the Pro Stock bikes. And I think that was exciting and a landmark that, you know, we've been looking to see get eclipsed for years. So it's been exciting times for the NHRA and in both the Meliola Series and the Lucas Oil Series all season long. I think this countdown is going to be very exciting and dramatic and you know, fantastic finishes as we traverse through the next five races and end up at the final race in Pomona, as you mentioned, for the World Finals. That's probably hands down my favorite racetrack on the tour, would love nothing more than to celebrate one more time there Sunday night.
That'd be great. Well, Shift and Steer and myself will be rooting for you and looking for you to have a number 6 in your championship title. And, hey, now are we going to see you at SEMA? Will you be attending SEMA this year?
Good chance. We'll be making a stop in Vegas for SEMA as well with all those travels. We've got a big team from Jake's that travel and look at the thousands of new products and some of the new vendors throughout the shows, both SEMA and the other show that's not coming to mind right now for some reason, but it's gonna likely be in Vegas as well for us.
Great. Well, hey, Jake, I appreciate you calling in this morning, taking time from the busy schedule because I know what race day's like, so it can be hectic, and I know you got guys waiting for you. But, hey, man, congratulations on making the countdown, and we'll be watching and hoping that all goes well and that you get another win this weekend.
Sounds great, man. Always a pleasure chatting and being on the show, and hopefully we can do it again before the year's out.
Cool. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling in.
My pleasure. Take care.
How was that?
I love that guy.
No, wow, he's... that was amazing.
Wasn't that amazing?
Well done.
No, but you know what I dig is, like, you know, Jed gets so technical. I mean, you heard it right there. He gets into the whole, you know, that how you can get all the bonus points, how you can move around. But it's amazing. These races that they go to, they, I mean, they're on the, you heard in the interview, they're on the road 26 weeks a year or whatever. He had a weekend off. What did he do? He went racing.
Yeah.
He went racing sportsman stuff.
Well, it's funny because we had him in here. We had a couple of the guys in here. They talk about just like on their property. They just like demolition derby their own cars and stuff. Yeah. You know, I don't even know if most of it's on purpose or not. They've hit trees and other cars and they just have a good time. They're just good car guys.
Yeah. No, they the just dig is. Doing it. So, but no, it was great hearing it from him because he's running. We're wishing him well. Hope he gets that number one spot. That'll be his sixth Pro Stock Championship if he gets it.
Those guys know what they're doing.
Yes, they do. And I wonder, do you think he gets most of his parts from Jegs.com?
I assume he does, but I don't know.
I think he should advertise. Jegs.com should become an advertiser.
I think you just did it.
Shameless plug. I just did. That's why I said they should become one. So,
all right, so good for him. Good luck. Brad, thanks for reaching out with him early in the morning. I was sleeping while you were doing that.
Yes, you were. And he was up, and it was the middle of his day because he's on the East Coast. But, hey, I want to tell you guys something, that is everybody has a favorite pair of jeans, the pair that fits perfectly and always looks great, the pair you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever. They're the go-to. Don't underestimate. That was a pause for effect.
No, I was
don't
let
underestimate.
It, I was let it sink
don't,
in.
Their importance.
Don't go out naked.
Yes. No one knows better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans, using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans are made for adventurers, the go-getters, folks who keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or if you're the type who walks the earth in search of something.
Ooh, like Kane and Kung Fu.
That's exact. Did he wear a Wrangler jeans?
Under the robe.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. Wrangler has something for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits.
Hey, Brad, do they have vintage re-releases?
They do. At a price that works for you. Vintage re-releases. There you go. Wrangler has something for everyone. And if you want vintage re-releases, you're going to get them. Because Wrangler has them. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. New styles, great fits. Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans.
Does anybody...
Do they have those... Do they have those maternity stretchy ones?
I'm sure they do.
They probably do.
Hey, Andrew, our Shine Squad member, does anybody of your generation understand my Kane from Kung Fu jokes?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to speak for my entire generation. I think the rest of my generation would probably be pretty upset if I did. But I got that one. And, you know, I got to tell you, Wrangler, that's a cutting-edge sponsor right there.
Yeah, that's right.
They're coming back around.
They're coming back. It's like PBR.
Man, PBR.
Oh man, I had this a friend of mine, my old business partner, was like, he would drink that stuff all the time.
Oh, you're talking about the beer?
Yeah.
I was talking about the Pro Bull Riding Association.
No,
that's
what I thought you were talking about.
Since we're talking about Wrangler.
No, he would drink PBR all the time. And I was like, why do you drink that? He's like, it won an award. I was like, in 18-something when there was one beer. Like,
hell,
it was only one award. It was one beer.
Hell, Shift and Stir won an award.
Yeah.
Well, see, I got to give it up for PBR, though, because a huge chunk of my life was snowboarding prior to, you know, that's where the interest in cameras really came from. And the mountain I grew up riding at was founded by Fred Pabst Jr.
Oh, there you go.
He founded
Pabst
a mountain?
Fame in, Bromley Mountain in southern Vermont. And, you know, we had the Blue Ribbon Quad. We got your Pabst Peril and Pabst Panic, two of the steeper trails on the mountain. And then you had the Pabst Blue Ribbon Tavern, which I would sneak into as a little kid and kind of be trying to watch football. My mom would have to come drag me out of there. And
how did you like living in Vermont?
Oh, it's.
Were you happy?
Oh, absolutely! It's the best place ever when the weather's good.
Not according to the rating that just came out. It was 41st out of it was the rated in the unhappy places. That's why I was wondering because a lot of my snowboarders were from Vermont and they loved it, but
yeah,
they just.
The unhappy place rating
back
chart?
In your back in your vision
I used
days.
To have Sims snowboards.
Oh yeah, and, Tom Sims.
Yep, and
rest in peace. Season.
So we had a lot of snowboarders back there that we sponsored, but
okay,
but yeah, but no, I just saw this rating and it said the least happy places and the most happy places, and on the top of the list was Hawaii. I mean, come on, you know, it's like it said most of the people, and they had this rating system.
Hmm.
California is number 5
of what? Least or most?
No, of the happiest places.
Because oh, that could have gone either way.
Yeah, well, that's not. I'm surprised. Yeah, really. I'm surprised it's number 5 yeah. because it was based on affordability and congestion yeah. and you know all kinds of things. But I guess everything else outweighs it. But like Nebraska was number 10, so hmm. you know.
This what publication or outlet was this from? It seems a little sketchy.
I think it was on Thrillist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at
this list.
It was
yeah.
on The Onion.
No, Donald Trump said so, and it was, you know.
Let's get right into this. Welcome to one of the Political Car Talk Radio.
They did have some negative regions, and one of them was this place called Reno, Tahoe. And they said people that live up there just they drive around in rat rods and Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're getting at, but I ain't listening.
Well, having lived in Reno and Truckee, I got to disagree with that. And Aaron, I'm taking it you're
he lives up in Tahoe okay. and complains all the time go. About
thank
how I can't get
you.
Out of my house cuz I'm snowed in and you know, it's like
yeah, well, you know, then
don't complain to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not sitting in traffic.
Neither are we. We're out of traffic
by
now.
Seasons, winter and road work.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
We have fire and fire.
Yeah. We have fire and we yeah. haven't had a big earthquake in a long time.
No.
I don't want to jinx it or anything, but we haven't had one.
Yeah, we're totally due, right?
Well,
I mean, I've lived here for 10
it's
years.
It's just like winding
and they keep
up
talking
right
about
now.
It.
And
it's coming.
I don't know if
according to every old lady who's your neighbor, the big one's coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'll just wait for the rock to swoop in on a helicopter and take me to safety.
That'd be fantastic. As long as he brings, what's her name with him?
Now, is it
Alexandra Daddario? Oh, man. Now this show's taking a turn.
Is it just me or every time I see some disaster on TV, like right now we've got all these flooding back in North Carolina and South yep. Carolina and everything. And I think about the people. Okay, let me get that off, you know, just for all the people that are going to send me hate email. But I also think of every time I see all these houses flooded and things, I think
of the cars.
I wonder what's in their garage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Think about
yeah,
the cars.
Absolutely. I know.
Yeah, and then you think about what sketchy dealer that I end up at in Texas for sale. It's, it's a good discount. Was this
well,
in a flood?
It was like,
no.
It was like there was a Hatteras, beautiful, about a 60-foot Hatteras, and the guy from
nice
CNN
boat.
Was standing there. There's nothing in the marina except for the one Hatteras, and I thought, I bet that guy called and said, hey, my insurance is good, right?
Yeah. Right?
I was going to leave it there.
I'm insured.
Yeah, I'm insured.
Forget the boat.
Screw that.
You're absolutely right. This is always kind of like a fine line, but it is called shift and steer to this podcast. So,
oh, you mean we should start getting into the car part of it?
Well, I'm saying
we should shift gears and steer towards talking about cars.
Is the disaster that results in people's property as well. And, you know, we love cars. We, you know, we understand what people have put into them, especially these project cars or you know, one of the many, many, many unfinished cars Brad has.
Hey, look who's talking.
It's funny because I rented a car to come here today. I've got 4 cars. I took the Alfa Romeo in. Aaron will appreciate this. I couldn't see out the back plastic window, so I'm getting a new one sewn
was
in.
It turning brown?
It was turning brown.
Yeah.
The top is
yeah.
in great condition.
Amber. It's amber, Brad.
And
amber.
Yeah. Talk about a sunburn, man. I swear to God, I'm just going to run some SPF like 55 on that thing because there's not. It doesn't take much sun out here to start ruining those plastic things. So you know what I did is you're yeah. a boater. Is that a right term? Boater?
Yeah, are motor
boater. Yeah. So I hit up – I live in Venice. I hit up the boat store, and I bought – all the cleaners and the UV protectant for all the bimini tops, all the clear plastic on boats. I'm just using that on the black the back plastic window of the convertible
top. Okay, that makes sense.
You
know,
there you go.
If Turtle Wax made something, I'd use that.
Yeah. I don't know. I have people that do that for me, Matt, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Who does it? I just show up
and
get on.
Rick in the other
room? I just get on the yacht and go.
Yeah, just get on the yacht and go. Yeah. So. Oh, I got an email from I'm selling a car, and I'm selling a car. One of Adam's Lamborghinis, and we list it internationally, and that's where most of our emails come from. The guy sent me an email.
Let me guess. It was from Nigeria, and he wants to pay too much for the car.
That's
but
right.
You get to keep the rest.
Yeah, yeah. No, it worked out. First of all, I was like, it's not my car. Deal. I'm in.
Yeah.
So I got an email from a guy, a nice guy, The signature line in his email was something like, FedShip paves the waves or whatever, something. And I was like, wait a minute. So I looked up his name, and it turns out he owns FedShip. FedShip is like a massive custom yacht manufacturer. Like, I think they have one yacht under development right now that's 250 feet. And the one that they just launched like last year was 326 feet. That's $180 million yacht.
Yeah, right? Those are Saudi prince yachts.
Yeah,
and
yeah, this is some Paul Allen and some Mark Cuban and you know.
Just to drop a few names of Saudi princes.
Yeah, these are the non Saudi versions of those guys, because I don't know many Saudi princes. And
but you and Cuban are hanging out.
Oh, you have no idea.
Hey, he was with Paul Allen's yacht not that long ago.
That's right. So. Paul Allen's yacht and I were.
A quarter mile away?
Yeah, yeah. But Mark Cuban's been over to the other pod. He's been over on
yes
on
hey
Corolla show.
You know what else? We've got a guest today. We mentioned it earlier. Andrew Manis.
He's been here the whole time.
Yeah, he's been here. He's been laughing along. Yeah. We were waiting for Aaron to introduce him, but he didn't have any of the key points. You know.
You know what? I've had about enough.
Andrew's a Shine Squad member from Turtle Wax, as we mentioned before. You are a photographer.
Yep.
That's the main gig.
That is.
What else do you do?
That is the main gig. I also write. I write about cars. I work for in the freelance field. Write for Gear Patrol and Cool Hunting, and you know, I got my start writing. Just as a creative outlet on Opposite Lock, which, if you remember, I mean, Opposite Lock is still around as part of the Kinja days, and stuff would get pulled from Opposite Lock over to the front page of Jalopnik, which I'm sure yourselves and most of your listeners would be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh yeah,
that is really how I got into this weird and wonderful world of automotive related media.
How many times did you write something and then you saw it on 15 other websites where they didn't give you a byline or anything?
Oh, that kind of came later, where stuff would kind of get picked up. Because I wrote for Bold Ride for a little while when that was still a thing prior to it being absorbed by Motor One. And, you know, that I guess would end up getting syndicated to Yahoo, but then from Yahoo...
Yeah, people just take it and put it on their blog or
elsewhere. Yeah,
we do that all the time.
Yeah, it's a great way to get content.
Yeah,
you know, that happens
more
often.
The second half of the show is going to be aggregated from somebody else's podcast.
Yeah, right. I mean, that seems to happen more often with Instagram now, and it's something that I notice with a lot of my other friends who are photographers. You know, sometimes you'll be looking through the feed and you'll be like, "Oh, that photo looks familiar," and it's one of your photos.
Yeah,
like I haven't seen that forever, and it's on some. You know, random, you know, ghost account.
Yeah.
That's just trying to
act. I don't know. On some level, there's a little bit of flattery involved, but then you see the ads and they're like, hey, you can buy the printed canvas for your house. And you see your photo on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's that about?
Yeah.
See, now you sound like a rap artist who's saying, hey, I only took Elton John's music or I took the Stones and just sampled it.
All I did was sample just a little bit.
Well, it's like the Stones and Zeppelin. They only borrowed all the black blues musicians
exactly.
from the South. You know,
so you know, they just aggregated it.
Yeah, the aggregate.
Where are you publishing most of your stuff? Are you working with another media partner or a distributor, or is it more of your Instagram profile?
These days, yeah, it's my Instagram profile, which is at the road less driven for
all at the road less driven.
Yeah, at okay. the road less driven. Just the road less driven. If you type that into Instagram, but you know, you need that at symbol for,
yes.
for the over 40 crowd to you know help understand where to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, man, it's
subtle
like,
dig there.
It's like well, I don't know why you're looking at me.
Brad's not over 40.
No, I'm 29. God. I got to teach these guys all the time. You know,
Brad colors his beard gray.
Yeah, to seem more distinguished.
That's right.
No, he's the only one that adds the gray.
Right. Hell yeah, because I don't want to. I don't want to come off, you know, like I'm some young guy. You
no,
know?
I it's, no that no nobody wants
horrible.
That. Nobody wants that. So you've been traveling quite a bit as well as part.
Let's
of
just
your...
hope Matt doesn't bring up the pound sign because yeah. he always calls it the pound sign.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I'm the one who says
he's like, you know, you can find us at pound sign.
Pound shift and steer. That just yeah. doesn't sound right.
Honest to God, it took us like the first 2 years to get Brad off of that.
No, yeah. Pete was
oh, and Pete. Oh, Pete.
We man. Had another guy that used to pass. He passed away, and he was so much fun. But Pete was in his 70s, and he'd go, "Now it's a what?" He goes, "Because we on the phone we used to call it that button a pound sign." And
yeah.
And oh man, it was hilarious.
He didn't understand hashtag.
Took me
whatever.
A while. I'll admit it. You know yeah. that I called it a tic tac toe symbol for a while. And
doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Anyway,
it
so we were getting into some of the traveling that you've yeah. done. You do that because I'm curious about some of the car culture. So we just came back. We've gone through this in past shows. We just came back from the Goodwood Festival of Speed, which is fantastic. And then I toured around. I was in Rome and Sicily for a bit. And I can't say there was much car culture there unless you love smart cars,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I'm not sure who does.
Yeah.
But where are you finding interesting car cultures in other places of the world?
Well, I have done a lot of traveling this year. Definitely been very fortunate to do that, and a lot of it is, you know, traveling with OEMs for various launches, and then kind of tacking on a little bit of you know personal time where I can, which I've learned from older, more veteran journalists that's the thing to do if you can.
Yeah.
So you actually get some time to yourself to kind of yeah immerse yourself in local culture, whether it's car culture or culinary or drinking culture mm-hmm. more often than not. But England, certainly, just the UK when I've been over there. You know, southern England, I was around Goodwood last November. No events going on, but just went down to check it out since I was in the area. And I met a number of people just in that general area where they were yeah. driving interesting old cars, whether they're, you know, British cars or honestly... guy over there had a really cool Fairlane wagon that he had imported a long time ago, and I was like, man, this thing's got to be. I was talking to him just outside of like a little countryside kind of pub and inn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this has got to be a little bit of a, you know, not a nightmare, but a challenge to drive because you know the roads down there.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been around Goodwood; they're narrow.
They are.
Really,
if you
really
drive
narrow,
down just like in a van.
That's all of Europe. You know, it
yeah,
just,
if you're
yeah.
in a van or a sprinter, you're hitting trees along the
well,
way.
Well, you have a story yeah. about when you had to Magic Marker
oh, yeah.
in a
we,
van.
We rented a black van and scraped it up. So we just took a Sharpie and drew in all the lines and gave it back.
Well done.
It's fine.
Well done.
It's fine.
Well played, Matt.
Yeah, so the you know the culture is spread around. I was fortunate enough to get over to Lake Como back in May.
Yeah,
and that you know that I mean, really,
is there a car
not
culture?
Not the best cars
or is it a Vespa
there?
Culture?
Well, Lake Como is like money culture.
It's
when you
money
go for
culture
that.
Exactly.
Man,
and around
so
that time, obviously,
and all my yachting friends.
Yeah, exactly. All your Saudi princes.
Cuban and
Cubans
I are,
there.
Cuban
yeah.
and I are tight.
Or Cuban-esque. The all the European Cubans.
Yeah, that. That sounds weird.
Yeah,
the Mark
does,
Cubans,
yeah.
The
European
Mark
Cubans.
Mark Cubans.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you. Need to specify that. But yeah, Milan. Interestingly enough, I saw a lot of great cars in Milan. A lot of Audis. A lot of – some multiple RS6s, which, you know, it's normal over there for us over here. We don't get that car yet.
Right.
Or supposedly won't. But,
yeah, really.
Like an RS6 out here for us is kind of like finding a – you know, a Mustang, right. Shelby GT350 or like a modern day Shelby over
yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody really has to go out of their way to get that car over there.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's something special. So
have you been to Japan at all?
I have not been to Japan.
Cause the car culture there is just crazy.
Japan is number one destination right now.
It's so cool. I've been there multiple times.
Brad's been out there years ago back with Boyd's and like Moon Eyes guys and stuff like that.
Very
and
cool.
I'm curious to know how it's changed over the years because hot rodding was something kind of cool for them.
Oh, they're still into that whole custom culture. Mm-hmm. But then when you get out, you know, away from that, it's all about these little subcultures of very strange automotive customizing. And there's the
I did watch Tokyo Drift, so I do kind of know.
You know, it all
most underappreciated of the Fast and the Furious movies. You know, perhaps, you know, the acting across the board, you know, it goes back and forth, ebbs and flows, but that movie's underappreciated. I think we can all agree on that, right? The driving in that is maybe
all
the most
of
impressive.
Yeah. All of them. But it's the thing about over there is it goes from extremes. It's you have extremes like guys that, you know, the drifting guys that go out at night and they drift. And I mean, they do it like balls to the wall. Then you've got the guys who have these turbo cars that are, I mean, huge horsepower in the strangest little cars, and they love little station wagons over there.
Mm-hmm. But, I know, they're all like Rutledge Wood.
Yeah, exactly. Strange little cars. But they, you know what? You got a point there because they're painted strange. And
they are. We love Rutledge, but that's the culture
he
really kind of loves is the little weird cars and the wagons and the minivans with big turbo engines and
but
stuff.
But then you get into some of them where they have these giant spoilers that are like way exaggerated, and then you have this one that's an outgrowth of the Yakuza, where those guys used to get the big luxury cars, and they would put everything in them because that was their office. And the kids started emulating that, and you see these cars that have, you know, chandeliers, and it looks like somebody from Pimp My Ride came over and made their cars for them. You know, they're horrible.
That's amazing.
Totally,
yeah,
and there's a million antenna on top.
Yes, you're right. Yes,
all the executive cars literally had dozens of antennas all over the top of the car.
Yep. So I mean, the car culture around the world—that's what's fun—is because, you know, we might each have our own choice of what we like, but when you go somewhere else, you just said, like you said, you met this guy with the Fairlane wagon. You instantly had a bond. You could talk to him about something because he was into cars too.
Right. Yeah. There is that recognition, no matter where you are in the world. And I think some of that, you know, these little subcultures, you know, for a long time, like I said, for me, less so with snowboarding because I really didn't snowboard that much internationally, but certainly skateboarding, you know, any trip ever went on anywhere, you know, I used to take a skateboard with me, and now I do when I can, but oftentimes I have camera gear as well. So it's kind of picking your battles with how much stuff am I going to lug around when I'm on my own and I'm trying to travel light. But, you know, if you see someone with another skateboard, no matter where you are in the world, certainly now that skateboarding's so global, I mean, you could be, you know, I have friends that went to the Middle East, you know, they were in like Istanbul or Oman with skateboards, or India even, you know, and you see somebody else with a skateboard, and you automatically have a common language to speak. It's the same thing with cars. And I think there are certain, certain cars that they automatically clue you in. If you see a car in a place where you're like, oh, that's a little unusual, it's pretty safe to assume that that person has that for a reason, you know, and that they're into the culture. Just,
yeah. If you see something that's slightly modified, you know, they're more enthusiast, you know, they're really into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not just, not just throwing money around,
especially overseas, because it's so hard even just to put a set of custom wheels on a car because they have all of the standards that they have to meet and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have it good over here. That is what I think
more so
than anything. And Australia, actually, that's a great segue because, man, is it expensive.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends from Australia, and it is so expensive to own, certainly modify and maintain something fun, not to mention just fuel. I mean, you know, certainly down here in SoCal, you know, we can bitch and moan about, oh, we're paying for whatever, a gallon of gas. But, you know, friends from Sweden come over here and they're just like,
yeah,
I'll buy a tank of gas. Sure. What's it, 410 a gallon? Great. Fill you up.
They're like, I wish it was only that cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't been down there, but I was working with a suspension company out of New Zealand, and they were saying, you know, we've got good parts. We want to start selling them in the U.S. And I said, yeah, I'm sure there's a market for it. You know, it's, you know, whatever Gen 1, Gen 2 Mustang suspension stuff. And they're like, yeah, we think we have good parts. I said, okay. I mean, there's always a market for that kind of stuff. Why is yours better? And they were saying, well, unlike the U.S., all of our aftermarket parts need to be approved by the DOT. Like, they can't just come out with an Edelbrock intake manifold and go, put it on whatever you want. You know, like, now we're dealing more with emissions things and stuff like that. But they couldn't do a coilover kit without DOT approval. Everything has to get submitted.
Has to have two standards.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's still the case. I assume it is.
No, it's and you're absolutely right. They have to pay so much to import. I mean, we ship wheels down there, and these guys are dedicated because they an average set of wheels is $600 to $700. We had a guy from Tasmania, and so we had to ship them to Australia, and then from Australia they went to Tasmania. He had to pay almost as much from Australia to Tasmania as it was to get him, you know, shipped. So $1,200 in, and he's not even paid for the wheels.
Right. That's just all the shipping stuff.
That's dedication is what that is.
Of course, they're sitting on a little extra money because, you know, they're not paying for exorbitant hospital bills and health care. That's a whole other discussion.
Now you said your dad and your grandfather were car guys?
My dad certainly so, and his dad, and my mom's dad as well, was not necessarily, you know, a wrench kind of guy, but, you know, had some
enthusiasts
interested in cars, certainly. And I think my lead foot comes from just about everybody in the family. But certainly my dad grew up building various hot rods with friends down in the South. He's from outside of Shreveport, Louisiana. And they kind of work on everything. You know, it's just always enjoyed growing up hearing a lot of his stories about when we'd go to car shows and I'd look at that car, I'd be like, oh, I had a friend who had, you know, one of those, you know, like, I remember the first time I saw a Stingray, you know, like a split window, and I'm looking at the pipes and he goes, oh, yeah, yep, had many a friend who'd step out of there and they'd have the tattoo on their leg. Yep. They'd get too close to that pipe and just singe the you know, the hair.
We didn't learn. We made a viper.
Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I've only gotten that with motorcycles. I've been real lucky around car exhausts.
Yeah.
I've definitely.
If you wore Wrangler jeans, you wouldn't have a problem.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's certainly, that
very,
heavy,
very good
16-ounce Wranglers. Yeah,
that's what Wrangler needs to come out with, a set of side pipes. That's the name of their new jeans, side pipes.
Side pipes.
Yeah, it has like a Kevlar patch around the ankles. perfect for Cobras, Stingrays, and anything Aaron drives.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, the whole time you're saying this, I'm thinking I've had two fans come over and get in voodoo at like an event, and like years later, they're like, "Yeah, I burned myself." I'm like, "Oh, you should have set myself so bad." One lady had a big old scar on her ankle, and I felt so bad. But now I make sure, you know, that everything's cooled off, and I'm squirting water on it to cool it off so nobody burns themselves.
Do you have a big sign in your shop that says "disclaimer"? You know, this ride, you take it at your own risk.
No, but I do have must-have current tetanus and other.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. you should put one. You should find online or something, buy on eBay some old amusement park sign that says, you know, you must be this tall to ride, you know, and then when they come over, you just measure them.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd love to have some old amusement park signs, period. So.
Wait a minute. That just sounded like an Aaron Mooch.
Yeah.
You know, come on, Aaron. Yeah.
Somebody
hey,
said Aaron's
Aaron, if you'd
sign.
Like to send them to me.
Send it to Aaron's Junk.
Right, right.
.com.
Then being where you are, you can turn around and sell those signs to people headed up to Black Rock City, you know, so.
There you go. See, Aaron, you got a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Hey, did you
all right, I'm in.
I heard something about you did a Cars and Coffee or something like that.
I did, yeah. We did a little Cars and Coffee event over in Redondo at a friend of mine's. They have a production studio in their offices. You know, great space. I don't want it to sound, though, like they're, you know, they have some little movie lot there, single building. And I had talked to Turtle Wax about wanting to do, you know, an event that focuses on having some photos on display and getting people out and bringing down some interesting rides. And because, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, you used to have First Sundays up there at Tronca's Market in Malibu. And that, you know, I was lucky enough to find out about that show very early on. And, you know, not to sound like one of those guys being, I remember when it was, you know, it was 15, 20 people.
You old guys are always doing
all
that,
us old guys, you know, we're always doing that.
You and Kane,
but then,
from
man,
Kung Fu.
It just, yeah. And it just, it, you know, it blew up, and I knew it was going to get shut down eventually.
All like, the best ones, they always do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, it's, you know, it's word of mouth and certainly social media now, you know, the word gets around and then you get, what goes from a quiet show that's kind of chatting with people. Because for me, the shows, the cars, sure, you know, they bring them out. But it's the, you know, it's the people. It's the whole reason I've, you know, stuck around and been interested in cars so long is because you meet the most interesting people. I mean, not always. There are plenty of not so interesting people.
We call those douchebags.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can.
Sometimes they hit the wall.
Yeah. Well, you're just pulling them out left and right today, man.
Sometimes during a drag race.
But yeah, I wanted to. there. I felt like there was, you know, my friend Zeke Wheeler does the auto conduct shows. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you've been to.
Yeah. I just ran into him outside of a Ralph's the other day.
Yeah.
Like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're up in Venice. I'm in Venice. Zeke's over in Mar Vista. Mm-hmm. You know, I will actually see him this evening. He just picked up an E30, I think a 325i sedan.
Oh, yeah, because he parked it next to me at the store.
Yeah. It's a sedan, right?
I think
it's a four-door because he's, you know, he's got the two kids now, so you need the.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are getting old. You got to have four doors.
It's funny because we're.
Not like, you know, you're still in coupe.
He parked his car next to my Alfa Romeo over there. A lot, and then we were walking. We're like, "Yeah, let's go look at our cars." We're right over here. We couldn't find them. They were like on the other side of like a Tahoe, of like a truck. We're like, "Oh, we forget how tiny they are." And then over there,
what Alfa do you drive? I don't know what Alfa.
It's a 92 Alfa Romeo Spider.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we just had it there the other day. Ran into him. It was so weird that we did.
So yeah, so he does auto conduct. You've been to the pop up car shows, and I've kind of. Been involved in some of those along the way, and I just wanted to do like a photo show, car show type of deal, and get people together and have a couple friends brought out. We had a nice little selection of stuff. We actually had a Lancia Aurelia that my friend Oscar brought that I believe went right on bat like 2 weeks after that, and did really well.
Oh yeah,
as part of the, you know,
was it red?
Green. It was like green. This kind of greenish gray color.
I saw a red Lancia on Bring a Trailer.
I've been weaning myself off Bring a Trailer. I'm trying not to be on there as much.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing you open the laptop in the morning, and it's like right to bat to see what's going on.
Get that email.
I know. You get all that stuff.
I don't even get out of bed. It's on my phone. I'm looking. I'm going scrolling through it in the morning. All right. We're going to wrap things up. But, Brad, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Turtle Wax.
I have a quick question. I have a quick question before I get.
Well, why didn't you bring it up before, Aaron?
Go ahead.
You guys are doing all the talking.
You have to submit all your questions in writing ahead of time.
Yes, were they approved by the network? Go ahead.
If he drives, do you drive a classic car or a sports car or anything worth noting?
I don't have a car right now.
Wait a minute. You don't have a car
It's been even 1 year without a car. I had a BMW M235 stick that I tracked down. And before that, I had a B7 S4 Avant. And before that, I had a WRX. And there's like six or seven other cars.
How do you live in L.A. without a car?
This has been the year of travel. I've hardly been here. And when I've been here, I've either had a press car or a press motorcycle. But, man, it is getting to the point. I borrowed my friend's Fiat 500 Abarth to get down here
it's
today.
It's funny because when you rolled out, we were specifically avoiding the question that Aaron just asked. Yeah. Like, you just rolled the Total Wax guy just rolled up at the dirtiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Not my car. It should be. I won't put my friend on blast, but, man, he lets that thing sit on his roof, and he gets around in that. But yeah. he has a
sorry, what's his name again?
He has a DBS. So, yeah, we're going to keep that out of the way. I don't think he listens to podcasts. He's got, like, an iPhone 4.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Because after 71 years of car care innovation, Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their new Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. And that car could really use a tropical vacation.
And what do you think I'll be doing as a thank you for letting me borrow his car? I mean, this is no joke. That stuff is my favorite. I choose my car care products based off, one, the color of the bottle, and I like green, so I've always kind of been a Turtle Wax guy. And that is no joke. Like, I have just always kind of had their products. And the bug and tar remover, which is my favorite product, and that is also not a plug. That is growing up in Vermont, driving out to my parents' house, which is down a valley, in the evening. I mean, your car—it's just bug genocide. I mean,
every time we read this ad, we go through this.
Having this dirt, and so all the time, it's like spray that stuff on, leave it there for a minute, wipe it down. That stuff smells pretty good, but the Carnauba stuff, pour it in the bucket, and you're just like, oh.
Well, you said you're a motorcycle rider. Do you use the bug and tar remover on your teeth a little bit? Yeah. You know, just...
on my helmet, I don't.
Nobody uses an open face helmet unless you're Jay Leno on Jay Leno's Garage.
Exactly.
Let me get back to the read. Right.
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry, you weren't finished.
Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their new Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. It has three times more Carnauba friction reducing detergents, and it's infused with Caribbean Crush aromatics that activate when you mix it up, and that's what you like.
Yep.
The result is a rich scented foam that's like taking your car on a tropical vacation. You can take that little Abarth on a tropical vacation this afternoon. And if you're looking for an easier way to apply that rich Carnauba shine, check out Turtle Wax Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax. With three times the Carnauba, Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax provides not only a great shine, but has polishing agents that clean while you wax. And summer's bug and tar season, so pick up some Turtle Wax Bug and Tar Remover. See, there you go. It easily removes both bugs and tar, as well as other stubborn spots that are holding back your car's summer shine. Reach for Turtle Wax to have a car that looks as hot as summer feels. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out. We're going to have to get a new ad read because it's going to start getting cold pretty soon back east.
That's right.
Yeah, but I was waiting for you to put that in because I was like, it's not going to be cool here till
I used the
maybe December.
The spray wax. I used the spray wax the other day on the Alpha.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
How'd it work?
It's good.
Did it turn your rear window brown?
No, but I'm staring at the rear window going, I should probably spray down the rest of this goddamn car because it's sitting in the sun.
Yes.
So I did. I had the spray and I wiped it down. It was super easy.
You did what, Aaron?
I've got a question. So this is something that's kind of been around since we were kids.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
What the hell is Carnauba?
What is Carnauba?
Carnauba.
It's a flavor of bubble gum.
What is Carnauba?
Carnauba is a wax.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something.
I know it's a wax, but what is it? Is it a type of resin? Is it a type of, you know, insect? Is it a four-legged animal? I mean,
no.
It's a made-up term like Corinthian leather.
That's what I thought. Okay.
No, actually, Carnauba is actually found in the Carnauba tree. It's a derivative of rubber trees. It's only found in the Amazon rainforest, and they've removed about two-thirds of the Amazon rainforest getting this carnauba, and this is total ridiculous. I'm just making it up. Because turtle wax would
sounded
never...
Sounded very efficient.
Turtle wax sounded would never efficient. Tear down the rainforest.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but so we're going to wrap things up.
You know what, though? We will find out. You know what, Aaron? I'm going to put you on the next episode. You can give us a book report on what carnauba is.
Okay, there you go. I think it's the oil from turtles boiled down and used.
Aaron, you're breaking up.
Yeah. Come on now. Hey, Matt, where can they find us online?
Guys, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and we're on all the social medias at ShiftSteer Media. And, you know, our friends at Podcast One are always doing new stuff, fun stuff. And if you like this show, you need to check out the Pro Football Focus Podcast, the PFF. They have the NFL podcast each week where they grade every player on every play of the NFL season to give you a look inside the game nobody else can rival. Then check out their Forecast podcast where they give you the best analytics and gambling tips. In the football world. Wow. Is that legal?
You know, I guess
so. Check out PFF's NFL and Forecast podcasts weekly on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcast. I think they passed the law. You can do that now.
Yeah.
You
know what the forecast is?
Every time you're driving to Vegas, listen to the PFF podcast. See, lay down your beds.
It's good. The forecast.
And if you need some,
Patriots going to win.
Is that the forecast?
And if you need some extra money, just go to OPP. You know, that's how you do. you can use it to get your PFF. Hey, you can find all of us online too, but I want to give our guests the opportunity. Where can they find you online? Give us your Instagram again.
It's at the Road Less Driven, and that's where you can.
And do you have one of those?
Stuff. And I have a website that is.
Do you do pound the Road Less Driven?
Yeah.
No, it's at.
Oh, so
yeah. Pound TRLD.
There you go.
The Road Less Driven is the hashtag I use, so you can track my activity through that. That's the best way to find me out there.
All right.
Okay. Aaron, do you got anything you want to plug, like your TV show or your...
Yeah, well first I want to apologize to our guests.
To the listeners and to...
Yeah, I'm on Design Cut Build on YouTube with Lincoln Torch Bait, and you can find me all over the place on AaronHagar.com. And if you're in Colorado, I'll see you on the road because I'll be on a Ferrari rally next week. So when this is airing, I'll be cruising through the mountains while Matt and Brad are sitting at home jealous watching.
I feel for you.
Red Voodoo on a Ferrari rally?
I know. That's weird, isn't
that's
it?
That's weird.
No, are you
yep,
taking the Mini
Red
on a...
Voodoo on a Ferrari rally.
Well, who are you doing that with?
My childhood friend, Rick. And he invited me to go with the boys. And after, like... 7 years, I could finally say yes.
Well, when you go, make sure you come back with an Instagram collage of everyone's loafers.
And when is that?
It's all 3/4 and pond dials.
Right? What's the date? What's the date of it?
I leave this Sunday, 17th, right? Isn't that this Sunday?
Okay, I figured it out already. He's just going to hit you up for tickets to your 17th? Dad's concert.
What? It's the 17th through the 21st. So,
see, he's getting you up there so that he can corner you and hit you up for tickets. That's what it is.
And I'm going to try to visit our friend Kerry, you know, the Plymouth radio truck. I'm going to try to visit him because he's like 15 minutes from the airport. So remember that truck from SEMA, that beautiful bare aluminum?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll take some pictures and we'll post them up on Shift and Steer's Instagram and Facebook. So you folks
and be careful of that Denver airport. You know all the conspiracies going around. It's the
oh man.
You know
that's a whole separate podcast.
They have a great new advertising campaign that I'll tell you about off the air. But anyways, okay. And you can find me Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram, and you know my personal. My personal pound sign is Bond Speed Brad.
Pound Brad.
it's Brad.
Is you?
Yeah. So anyways, no, find me Bradley_Fanshaw, or you can find me at Brad Fanshaw on all the other social media outlets. And, you know, listen to my other show, Man Seeks Adventure.
and find out all the great things about cars, bars, eats, and adventures around the world. So, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
And
I'm Aaron.
All right. We'll be back next week. And that's a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.